Is anybody here? Everything's going your way. Everything's going your way?
Good.
I was going to title this message, "This is not Burger King." For some of you that are like real sharp-witted and like borderline smart, like, put down, "This is not Burger King." The rest of you, you can title it, "What are you going to do when it doesn't go good?" What are you going to do when it doesn't go your way? Luke chapter 1, verse 1. I don't have a whole lot of notes, just some neat little things to go in there, but let's just let the Spirit of God do what He's going to do in this message this morning. Are y'all excited about being here? I was thinking this morning, I'm going to make a couple announcements before I take off into this. We're going to start doing some leadership training. It'll be on the first Tuesday of every month, but beginning in January and February, it might be Thursday. But the rest of the year will be Tuesday. So if you're a leader in this church in any form or fashion, or if you want to be, we're going to start making that available about Tuesday at 7 o'clock, the first of the month. Of every month, first Tuesday. And what we're going to do is we'll have all kinds of different leadership kind of training to make leaders and be better leaders here at this church. The first Sunday in January, we're going to have a drug recovery testimonial group on this stage. And it's going to be amazing. And what I need from the church is I need somebody to donate me a couch and a couple of chairs for one service. And I promise you'll get them back, maybe with a few tears on them. That's about it. And we want to set this stage up with like a couch and chairs and stuff like that and make it look pretty good. Alright, scary. Like a Christmas play. Can y'all get that one? Y'all excited? That's what's going to be coming in the 1st of January. Let's get into Word of God. "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having the perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." I love how Luke starts this message, and this is kind of a bonus to what we're preaching today, but I want you to understand that we believe what the Word of God said. Luke says, listen to this, he said, "We absolutely believe what the Word of God says. What I'm writing, what I'm giving to you, O Theophilus," neat, Theophilus means friend of God. Honored friend of God. Ain't that cool how names show up in the Bible and they're right there in that perfect place? Luke says, "I'm giving you a letter that's absolutely true, and I'm giving it to you, the friend, honorable friend of God." That's you if you're saved. That's you if you're born again. God gives us letters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to show us the gospel is absolutely true. Listen, I want to say some really crazy hard things right now to you. I will never go out of my way to prove that the Bible is true to you. I just believe that it is. I absolutely wholeheartedly believe that it is. I'm not going out of my way to disprove the Word of God. I'm going out of my way to trust and believe in every word that's in there. Let me say it this way, another harder way to put it. If you're going out of your way to show how this is wrong, you're not right with God. You're setting out on a task and an errand that will end up in your destruction for eternity, trying to show where God's Word is wrong. Instead of saying, as a honorable friend and trusting person in God, I'll just take Him at His Word. I'm not going to argue about how God does, why God does, and why He sets things in the order of the way He does. Why? Because He's the Father and I'm the Son. And you know what I do? I show honor to my Father by saying, God, I'll trust You. I don't care what Your rules are. I don't care why You said Your rules. I'll just do them because I understand you're God and I'm not. You say, do you just have blind faith in God and God's Word? Yes. Well, ain't that dangerous? Yeah, but it was more dangerous living outside of it than living on the inside of it. I've come to understand this. You might not like this kind of teaching or truth, but I've come to find out the more I get into this Word, the more I pray and the more I understand it, the wiser I become and the better my life has become. I don't have to worry about what I say, where I go, and what I do, and backing it up with lies, because guess what? All of it's in, when I start applying and going by this book, my life is pretty good. I don't have to tell people, I don't have to make up stories about where I was last night. I don't have to go back and remember what I told you, whether it was the truth or not. Because if I apply this book and go by it and believe it, guess what? My life just starts getting better and better and better. Can I share something else with you? You want to be wise? Read this book and apply it to your life. All of a sudden, people start looking at you where you were foolish and immature. All of a sudden, they'll be saying stuff like, man, you're pretty smart. You're pretty wise. You're pretty mature. And it won't be all of you. It'll be all of this getting in you. If I could hand anything down, this is what Luke is saying. Luke is saying, Theophilus, I'm handing you what was handed to me, and was what handed to me was a good thing, and I'm handing you a good thing. And I'm kind of preaching this. This is kind of a stalwart. It's kind of a cornerstone of my preaching. It's kind of a cornerstone of how I believe. I believe in reading God's Word and reading God's Word daily. If you ever get around me, I will share the importance with you that you need to read God's Word. The worst thing a Christian can do is go throughout their whole Christian life and never know what God is saying to you. You're neglecting very much important, the cornerstones of your life, the foundation of what you know. And so many times, Christians, we have a second-hand understanding of what God says in His Word. Some of you are saying, well, aren't you worried if I read it, I won't understand? Listen, I'd rather you read it and understand it the way you understand it and have a belief system than to listen to somebody else for 100 years and you think something in there that's not in there, or a truth that's not a truth. I was one of the scariest places I ever said. A person got in a disagreement with somebody else about the Bible and they were proven wrong, and they finally said, I don't care what it says. I know what my preacher says. Listen, don't ever say that. If you belong to this church, if the Word of God says it, you believe in the Word of God. We're handing down the Word of God. I love this. I love what he says. Verse 4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Listen, guys, you can know without a shadow of a doubt what you believe. And you can stand firm in it. And believe me, the way the world is changing, everything in this book that says is right, this world will say is wrong. But you will be able to stand there just like these folks did and say, you know what? I don't care what you say is right. I know what's right. But what I understand God has given us by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost of God, through men, I believe that over what you're saying. Because I can look at your life and see this is a wreck. I can look at our culture and see that we're a wreck. We can't even understand what bathroom to go into. It's really not that complicated. I mean, it's really not. Well, we really got to dissect this and think about it. No, we don't. The one with a dress, you go in there. The one with a pant, you go in there. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we don't want to get all political in here. Hey, some things are just right, and some things are just wrong. I mean, if we can't stand on what's right and wrong anymore, we might as well fold up our tent and go down the road and join somebody else, maybe a government, civic group. I'm going to tell you right now, there are some things that God says that's just absolutely true. Amen? Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. There's some really neat facts. If you're like me, we get into this Bible geek, this real study of things that's going on. I'll give you something really neat. The last person God spoke to in the Old Testament was Zacharias. And the first person he talks to in the New Testament, Zacharias. Ain't that cool? G- Guess what? He was of Arba, or let's get his real name here. Abia. Zacharias was of Abia. That's the lineage of Aaron. And guess what? That's the eighth child of Aaron. When God, Aaron had 24 children, the eighth one was split off. And guess what? Eight means healing or restoration. You know what God's doing right here in the book of Luke, in the very beginning of the New Testament? He's healing the Levitical priest, all of which is Aaron, and he's also bringing back David's throne, which is Jesus. Amen? Both of them were lost. Both of them had lost their standing. Both of them had lost their ability to do what they were supposed to do. The king's lineage was supposed to come through David, and guess what? The priests were supposed to stay pure and become priests. And guess what? They had broke that down. But Jesus said, in the midst of you being in slavery, I will restore you. Herod was a placement king. He was placed by the Roman Empire to set up over the Israelite, the Jewish people, to have them under control. While they were yet slaves, God started restoring the whole world. Sometimes we look at situations in our life and we wonder, "What, God, where are you at? Are you not involved? I mean, can't you see that we're in a real tough spot?" And God says, "I see that you're a tough spot, but I also see that I can work through tough spots." They sung that song in the storm, right? Listen, I want you to hear this. Sometimes you got to find Jesus in the storm. Storms are coming. It's going to rain on the just and the unjust. You are going to get some things that are going to happen to you, and you're going to wonder why they're happening, but you can't look at the consequence of the things of the storm. You can't look at the wind and the rain. You can't look at the diagnosis. You can't look at all the fear and all the pain. You've got to look for Jesus in it. You got to find him and say, "God, I know that I believe in you. I know I trust in you. And I know this storm is happening. Lord, what do you want in the storm from me? What do you want in this from me? Because I just don't want to be in the storm. And I don't want to be cursing and upset and mad." Because I know y'all never curse and get upset and mad. I know you don't do that. You're Christians, right? And when you get shook, you don't get upset and say crazy stuff. Or do you? You don't get mad and say to God, "Why?" You don't roll around and be miserable and have some fear and some anxiety, do you? Well, maybe you don't, but let me tell you something. Some people in here do. What I'm asking you to do, in the midst of that, start crying out for Christ and say, "Where are you, Jesus, in this?" Are y'all excited? Look at this stuff. It's neat. It's so neat. Look at this right here in verse 6. And they were both righteous. No, let's go back up to verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Ain't that cool? Wouldn't you like to have that record with God? That you're walking for him blameless? Wow. Not sinless, blameless. There's two different things. There's forgiven sin and unrepented sin. Amen? Unforgiven sin, that means if you're sitting here lost today and you never accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior, you've got unforgiven sin. And that separates you from God eternally. That separates you from God in a relationship with Christ on this earth. That you're separated because you've never been born again. Amen? Then there's unrepented sin. That's sin that a believer has that you allow sin to creep into your life, and the next thing you know, you're in a distant relationship with Jesus. You're not talking to him. You're not reading about him. You're not wanting to do the things that you've been called to do because you are in a place of unrepented sin. You know what it's saying right here? Elizabeth and Zacharias were in operation with God. Every time they sinned, they brought it before God. And then they were operating in their gifts and callings of God. Is that cool or what? Listen, this means when you looked at their life, not what they said exactly, not exactly what they said, but what they did. I love a good testimony. I do. I love when somebody stands up and says, "Let me share what God's done." I love that. But you know what I like more than that? A good steady walk. I love a good steady walk. That's kind of why the temperament of the churches I attend and have been attending the last 15 years of my life is because I really don't care how high you can run and how fast you can shout and all the other different things. What I do care about is, can you still walk it out on Monday? Is God still God on Tuesday? Because I don't care if you come in here running with a banner back and forth. If God ain't God on Monday, If you're cussing, drinking, drugging, lying, cheating, stealing, manipulating on Monday, but you're a champion in here, then it ain't going to do you no good, because eventually that's going to tell on itself. Now, some of y'all, I know what you did right there. I can feel it. I can feel it down in my spirit. You know what I just felt right there? Some of you said, good, I ain't never got to shout, run, praise God. I ain't got to do that. No, it's quite the opposite. Now, listen, if God's dealing with you to do that stuff and you say, God, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to embarrass myself in front of all these people, then guess what? That's kind of a sin too, because guess what? Knowing to do the right thing and not doing it is a sin as well. Amen? So when God bowls you over and makes you want to do things that you've never done before, like shout, like weep, like cry, like get on the altar and pour yourself out before Him, that's a cool thing. Amen? So don't sit here and say, well, Brother Kevin just wrote me a check and said I don't ever have to shout and praise God and ask God because I can walk it out on Monday. Now let me tell you something. You can walk it out on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but sometimes when you get in the house of God and it starts overflowing on you and you start and God starts filling up your cup, you should want to praise Him every once in a while. You should want to say, you know what? He's been so good to me that I could walk it out on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. He did keep my tongue tied up. He did keep my mind straight. He did help me walk the path. The Holy Spirit was there leading me. So when I do get here on Sunday, I do want to shout a little bit. I do want to praise a little bit. I do want to weep before Him because I did do good this week. Praise God. Amen. That's the attitude we should come into the house of God with sometimes. Not because what has God done for me, but man, God has got us through this week. Amen. And some of y'all need to learn how to praise Him on credit. Some of you need to praise Him on credit. Amen. Maybe He ain't doing so good right now, but guess what? He's going to do some good things because you can trust Him. Amen. Listen to this. This man and woman were blameless before God. And he was a high priest. Y'all get this? He was the high priest. That means he was going into the temple and he was praising God. This means his wife was supportive of him and loved him despite of all the stuff else that's going on in life. So what else was going on in their life, Kevin? Y'all, let's look into verse 7. If you would, just look at this verse, because here's the meat of the message, okay? Here's the real meat of the message in verse 7. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren and they were both now well stricken in years. What in the world? When I read those two verses, we got locked into Bible study, didn't we? Oh, I know Zacharias. I know Elizabeth. That's John the Baptist, mommy and daddy. I know them. I started hearing about them in Sunday school. But what you heard was they were obedient. They loved God. They trusted God. They followed God despite having a major deficiency in their life. Can you, what do you do when it doesn't go your way? Are you still going to operate in your calling? Are you still going to show up for God? Are you going to be blameless? Are you going to be bitter? Are you going to be blameless? Are you going to be mad? Are you going to be blameless? Are you going to be absent? Absent. God didn't do it. Can I take y'all back? Can I rewind you a little bit? I just rewinded you back to when Elizabeth and Zacharias got married and they knew. Have you ever knew that you got... Listen, I knew I was a preacher at 8. Scary because I didn't get saved till I was 30. Amen? But I knew I was a preacher at 8. That's how strong the calling was in my life. I knew it. Listen, I want you to hear this. I guarantee you she knew she had a baby. I bet her whole life growing up, I bet she took care of babies, swaddled babies. I mean, can I hold the baby? Can I touch? Let me see your baby. Oh, I love the baby, right? I can't wait till I get me a man. I'll get me a baby. And he's going to be special. He's going to be somebody big. I know God ain't placed this on me to be void. I just know it's going to be big. Then she meets her husband, Zachariah. I'm going to be a daddy. I want you to hear this. I'm of the royal lineage of God. I'm a Levi. I'm of Aaron's children. I'm going to have me a young boy, and he is going to be a preacher. He's going to be a priest. He's going to be a great man of God. And guess what? That first year rocks on, and they're all just happy because they're in a relationship, and they're in the honeymoon phase, and man, babe, I can't wait. That right over there is going to be the nursery. I preach. Y'all mind if I really preach? I mean, not hold anything back from y'all, but really preach. Or can y'all kind of handle that this morning? What if God all of a sudden put somebody right next to him, was having baby after baby? Can I be real? Probably they wasn't even married. That's just shacking up. Golly, we got another one. We got two babies. I mean, it was just like the other one. Just got here. We got another one. And you're sitting there going, one baby. I mean, that's like their third one, and they ain't taking care of the first one. Granny's taking care of that one, and then the government's taking care of the second one, and this third one, it probably done. Can I really preach in here? Can y'all handle that? And you're sitting over here like, all I want is one, God. I didn't need three. I didn't need four. I wanted to bless you with one. Maybe some of y'all are sitting here right now, talking about a boo. Yeah, maybe we're talking about a marriage. I want him. I'd be a great bride. But you can't find nothing but losers. I'd be a great husband. But you can't find nobody that will stick with you. Oh man, I want a great home one day. I'd be a great provider. I'm a builder. I'm a carpenter. You just can't get a home. You can't get a job. Everybody else is getting jobs left and right. Man, I need a job. I filled out a million applications. I took the drug screen. I can't get nobody to hire me. This dude's got fired and hired in the same week. You're 4 rocks on, 5 rocks on, 6 rocks on. Praise God, Zacharias. When you're up there lighting those candles, say a little prayer. Because you know I'm not 25 anymore. Oh Lord, I wonder, Zacharias, when I'm praying, say, oh my God, I love my wife. I love her with all my heart. But God, this is hard because I know this is all she wants. I mean, I'm your man. I'm standing here. I'm praising you. I'm not missing in action. God, I'm not bitter. I just want you to help me out. I wonder when those prayers stopped. God, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Is there anybody in here ever going to get satisfied with what you got? Because can I really preach again? Can I really dig? Can I get into the folds of your life? Can I? When are you going to start finding the good in your marriage, the good in your family, the good in your wife, even though God's not going to give you what you think He should have gave you? Because you could sit there all day and look across the street and say, what if we just had one of those kids? Oh, if I just had a marriage like them. Oh, if I just had a house like him. Oh, if I just had his job. Why don't you look around and say, God, look at me, I'm healthy. I'm of a sound mind. My God, I ain't got everything, but I got everything I need. I got everything right on time. God, you showed up with groceries every time I needed them. Man, sometimes we're looking at other people's lives. We think they're happy and content, and they're not as happy and as content as we are. God, thank you. Why don't we say, we can't have a child, but God, thank you for a good wife who's not out running around on me. Oh, thank you for a good husband that's not out running around on me, that hates me, that when we come into the house, it's like, oh, gosh. Here we are again. What are we going to do? Are we in there now? Have we kind of plowed the ground? These people were still serving God despite that God wasn't doing it their way. I hate to tell you this morning, God's not doing it my way. He's not doing it your way. But you better make up your mind that we can find the good in it. We can find the good in it and say, God's good. There must be a reason. Is this getting good? Is this kind of good to you? I see some of you, man. It's like God run a plow through your field. It's a good plow, ain't it? Kind of, it cuts you up a little bit, but it's good. The ground's good and fertile. Amen? So let's keep going then. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. Then appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. This is so good. This is so good. There was a big crowd outside. There was a big crowd outside, and he was amongst them. He was amongst them. And you know what? That's what Christians love. We love big crowds sometimes. I have a lot of people that talk to me about preaching. They're like, man, I'd like to be up there where you are. I'd like to be up on that stage. I'd like to be in front of that pulpit. I'm like, yeah, that's great. That's about where I spend about 5% of my time. And guess what? 5% of that time ain't nothing of what God does in my life when it's just me and Him. I love worshiping with y'all. Man, I thought about this morning. You know what I used to do when I first started preaching? I used to run to the pulpit. I did. I mean, somebody would say, you're going to preach. I'd run. I was like, dude, I was so excited. And I thought, man, if I could preach to crowds this big all the time when I first started preaching, I would have ran through here. I would have been like, yes! I can't believe y'all letting me preach to y'all. This is insane. I still think that. I just don't run to the pulpit because I know y'all are okay with me walking up there. I've matured a little. Very much so. But I want you to see this. Real relationship with God, real worship with God really comes when it's you and God. Listen, I love corporate worship. I love coming in here. And I love getting a good word. And I love pouring out what God's given to me. And I love when God pours out onto me. Amen? But here's what I really love. When I get alone with Him, He will blow you away if you will worship Him when you're alone with Him. See, Zacharias was in there. Listen, I want you to hear this. God doesn't show up for somebody like Zacharias if he's not worshiping Him. Listen, you can go through the motions of lighting the candles and saying the prayers, but I believe it went down like this. His wife's past having a baby. He's probably getting past having a baby. And he's in the temple of God. He's just in there by himself, just him and God. And he can say anything and do anything. He'll let God peer into his heart. Do you ever let God peer into your heart? He's in there lighting candles. He's, oh God, I love you. Oh God, I love you. You're so good to me. You've given me a good wife. You've given me a good life. You've given me an opportunity to worship you. You've called me to be a priest, and I don't deserve it. Listen, some of you have been called into God's family, and you absolutely don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Neither did I. He's sitting there just worshiping. God, you're so good. I love you. Listen, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If you'll learn how to do that, God will show up in that, and it will turn on you quickly. Because all of a sudden, he's worshiping him, and God shows up. Amen? Well, an angel shows up. But he's a messenger of God, so that means God's word showed up. Can y'all see this? He's sitting there lighting candles. He says, God, you're good. I love you. I love you, and I thank you, and I praise you. God, you're real good. You know my heart. This ain't no phony junk. This is me and you. I'm not doing this for everybody else. And all of a sudden, God's just... God, never mind. I want you to know this. If you really worship God right, there will be a place that you get to that you can't control yourself anymore. And if you ain't never been there, you've never really truly worshiped. I hate to tell you that, but you haven't. Because there's a place that you can tug and tug and tug and pull on God, and all of a sudden God will turn around and say, I'm here. And it will melt you down. Because this flesh, it can't stand in the presence of God. It melts down every time. Every person that ever got into the presence of God in this book fell on their face as if they were dead and said, oh, God. Can I pick just a little bit more? Because this God just sent this just straight down. Is it all right? There's some of you I worry about because I never see God really melt you down. You never get to a place where you let God really break you down. Why is that? That's not me asking, it's God asking you. Sorry. Well, see, I don't know. I don't want the answer. Just talk to God about it because He's telling me there's some of you in here that He takes you all the way up to the breaking point, but you hold on and you keep holding on and you never let go. You never let go of pain. You never let go of blessing. You never let go of a lot of things. And you sit there in your pews and God just wants to hear from you. Even if it was for you just to walk up here on this altar sometime and say, God, thank you. Or better than that, God, I'm hurting. God, hey, can I be honest with you? God, I'm a little ticked off. And I've been sitting on these pews and hearing these messages and knowing about this worship, but God, can I be honest with you? Why'd this happen to my dad? Why'd this happen to my mom? Why'd this happen to my sister? Why did this happen? God, I need to know. You ain't got to give me the answer, but I want you to know that it's coming from my heart. God, I want to talk to you for real. And I'm not keeping it clean. I'm not going to be neat. And some of you keep it real neat and keep it real clean. I don't understand why. Sometimes I just can't keep it all neat and clean. If we're in the house of God trying to keep it neat and clean, when God's trying to get us to pour it out, then boy, aren't we in trouble. Because we're telling the lost and dying world to come to the house of God, get saved, get right with God, when we can't even get right with it. That didn't cost you anything. That was bonus preaching. It wasn't in the notes. It wasn't in the study. That's just God being raw with you, opening up the portals of glory and saying, if you really want to get real, it's time to come to the altar and say, God, I'm here and I want to talk to you about what's really going on. What's really going on? And some of y'all play church good. Man, you look good on the outside, but you're a wreck on the inside. I don't know why we're still preaching. I don't know why the altars ain't filled up yet. I guess you just want to make me keep preaching. Verse 12, and when Zacharias saw him, he troubled him. Fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for the prayer is heard, and the wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. Oh my goodness. What's the principle here? What are we going to get from this morning? If it ain't going your way, if God ain't doing it your way, you keep worshiping, you keep doing right, you keep showing up, and God, in due season, will give you a blessing that will blow away what you were asking for. What they were asking for was a child. What God gave them was a priest. No, the forerunner of Christ. What they wanted was what Zacharias in his head was like, I want a son to be like me. Any men in here? I don't know about you, but somebody saying, hey, your son, he's just like you. Every daddy don't always do it, but in our heads and in our hearts we go, y'all going to run again. It's my boy. That's my boy. Hey, that's good. Man, I'm about to roll somebody right here. Somebody's about to get knocked down in the street. You're about to hear it. You know what's better than that? He's not like you. My God. What? My boy? I mean, I'm glad he's got some of my mannerism. I'm glad he likes some of the stuff I like. But are you telling me you caught a glimpse of God in my son? Oh, yeah. You can tell it. You can't deny that. You ever heard him say it? Can't deny them. Can't deny them. Can't deny them. Man, wouldn't it be good if you can't deny? God can't deny that one. He's just like it. Can I go a little deeper? Y'all want something really cool? Zacharias wanted a priest like him. God said, no, I'm going to make him a priest like me. You want him to worship on the inside? He's going to worship on the outside. You want him to be a priest who dresses on the outside? I'm going to dress him like one on the inside. You want him to light the candles in the temple? My gosh, I'm going to let him be the forerunner of the light of the temple. He ain't going to light candles. He's going to bring the light of the world into the thing. Hey, woo! Behold, the Lamb of God, take away the sin of the world. I'm not lighting candles up in that temple. I'm pointing you to the greatest light you're ever going to see. Dad, I ain't your kind of... I'm not your kind of priest, Zacharias. Remember, one day, see, Zacharias had a hard time understanding, like most dads do, how it was all going to transpire. And all of a sudden, you know what they said? They said, you're not going to be able to speak until you can talk it like God wants you to talk it. And he went through the whole process. He seen Jesus coming in Mary's womb. He seen his wife carrying his son, and then one day they said, what's his name going to be? Because Zacharias is standing over there. He's not going to be little Zacharias. He's not going to be my granddaddy's boy. He's not going to be my great-granddad now. Who's he going to be? And his wife says, his name's going to be John. And all the people, my gosh. All the people in their town was like, there are no Johns in your family. You can't name him that. John said, oh, he wants to write. Man, he's about to straighten this out. Give him the paper. Give him the chalk. And get him the slate. He's going to straighten this out. His name is John. Because that's what God wants, not what we want. What we wanted a long time ago was a good son to raise and to be proud of. But what God wanted was for us to stay faithful and true and minister to Him. And then one day, when we didn't realize that He was going to turn it all around and minister to us, and He was going to give us something, but it was going to be given to us to be a blessing to bless the rest of the world. See, if you wait on God and you trust Him, even when He ain't given you what you think you should be getting right now, He'll give you what you need when He wants you to have it. And everybody will stand back and say, that's good. Amen? Let's all stand. We're going to do a song of invitation. Is everything going your way this morning? If it's not going your way, how about coming to the altar and praying? There's already people praying, and I know there's people in this audience that wanted to pray almost all the way through this service, so stop waiting and start praying. Come on, the altars are full, come. Maybe things are not going your way right now. Maybe you need to